Amen. So we're in this time in the summer, which is a joyful time, but it's also a time of transition. Es tiempo de transición durante el verano. And for some of us, those are closing old chapters, and for others, it's beginning new chapters. And I'm sure that we can go around here and hear stories of where we're at in our lives. Some of us are closing seasons, others are opening and beginning new seasons. But we have someone dear that we love that has been a part of this community now for several months that is actually closing a season in this part of the country. And that's actually Pandora. A lot of you know Pandora. Pandora, go ahead and stand up and come over here. Let's welcome her. Welcome Pandora, please. So Pandora has just been a wonderful part of the Imago Church community now for several months. She is also active, serving our country. She's in the Navy and has just been a fantastic part of this family. And we're so grateful for you, Pandora, and everything that God has done in you and through you, even in these short months that we've been together. And Pandora is actually moving to Ohio. To the state of Ohio, can you believe it? So we're really going to miss you, Pandora, and we just want you to know that you have a family here that loves you, that is praying for you, that is for you, and is just cheering you on as you enter into this new season. So can you just share very briefly just how we can pray for you in this season?
Okay, I'd like to ask everyone to pray so that wherever I go, God will open doors for me. And if he closes it, to give me the grace to accept those closed doors. So yeah, I'd like everyone to pray for my family too, that God will be with us, guide us, and whatever we do, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Wonderful. So yeah, we praise God for that. And Pandora's been on quite a journey. She's originally from Ghana, from the great country of Ghana. And she came over to the U.S., is now in the Golden State in California, and now she's going to Ohio. So, yeah, it's an adventure all the way. I love it. So, Joyce, would you come up here and just lay a hand on Pandora? And all of us, right where you are, you know, you can pray right where you are, or extend a hand out toward Pandora, and we're just going to pray for her in this new season that she's entering into. So let's take a moment to just pray for our sister Pandora. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you, Lord, are God of not only this little part of the world that we're in, but of this whole world. You are Creator, Lord, and you promise to be faithful wherever we go. And Lord, may Pandora know that even though so much seems to be changing right now, one thing that remains consistent and constant is your faithfulness, Lord. May she be able to hold on to that, to hold on to your grace and your faithfulness, even when so much seems to be up in the air, Lord. God, may she find her full security and identity in you, in who you call her to be. Lord, she is fully secure because she belongs to you. And God, I just pray for these next steps, that she may know that she is never, ever alone. That she has you, your presence. That she has people here in California that love her, care for her, and are praying for her, Lord. And I pray that you would also just provide for her community out there in Ohio as well. That she would be able to grow and continue to be shaped, Lord, into the woman that you created her to be, Lord. God, I thank you for her heart to serve you, to serve our country, to serve those around her, Lord. And I pray that you would continue to utilize that. Utilize her as your hands and feet to bless those around her, Lord. Thank you for her joy and for her life. And right now, as a community, sending her out into a new community, Lord, we entrust her into your hands, God. We entrust her and we pray that the work that you began in her, that you would bring it into completion, God. Thank you for her life. We love you, Lord, And we thank you that even though we'll be far in distance, we are still united in you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. Well, safe travels. And we are just excited about all of the transitions that are happening here at Imago during the summer. Many people are traveling, as you can tell, a little bit more of an intimate group today, but I love that. That's how the summer season is around here. We have some folks in Washington, D.C. right now, some in China, some in Farmersville, people all over the place, really. But we are just really excited to open up God's Word together. And today, I'm just very glad. I'm even down here, which is different than being up on the stage, just because we're going to do a lot more interacting together as a community today and throughout the summer. Today, we're actually going to start what we call the summer rhythm. The summer rhythm here at Imago Church is where we change the pace. Where we change the pace of the way that we open up God's Word in the months of June, July, and August. This is a time where we actually go beyond simply listening to and responding to the Word of God. But what we do during the summer season is together as a community, we actually engage the Word of God. We go deeper, we go wider together, where we have an opportunity to sharpen one another.
Tenemos la oportunidad este verano de ir más profundamente en la palabra de Dios.
So we sharpen one another this summer. And in just a moment, I'm going to share an introduction today to the Psalms. The Psalms are the scriptures that we're going to be looking at throughout the whole month of June. Now, the Psalms are a very, very important book in the Bible, but it hardly gets preached on. Sometimes it's used for a little motivational word, but this entire month of June, we will be focusing on the Psalms. And in just a moment, we're going to read Psalm chapter 1 together. And together as a community, we're going to engage that scripture. We're going to meditate on the Psalm, and we're going to reflect on it together. And then we'll have something very special throughout the month of June, where each week we will have some special expression of worship. That's going to be through a poem. It's going to be through special music that will be provided during this time when we are opening up God's Word. And today, actually, Danny is going to be sharing a poem for us. So be praying for him as he prepares for that. And after he shares the poem, we pray together, and then we will conclude our time in worship like we always do. So in order to understand what we're going to be looking at today, the Psalms, they are a very, very important part in the Word of God, in the Bible. In order to understand the place of the Psalms in the Bible, it's really important to actually understand what the Bible is. And in fact, the Psalms take such an important role in the Scriptures that right now I can guarantee if you have a physical Bible with you, you can actually just close it and then try to open it up right in the middle, and you will more than likely open up to a Psalm. You will open up to the heart of the Bible. The Psalms, in many ways, can be known as the heart of God. In the Psalms, we see every single human emotion that we can think of. So once again, in order to understand what the Psalms are, we need to understand what the Bible is. So the Bible, to put it very simply for us, is this. The Bible is God's book that points to Jesus Christ. God's book that points to salvation. Scripture invites us to see the grand story, the great story, the story of stories where each one of us finds our own story. People of different backgrounds, people of different ages, we can find our story in the Bible, in this greater story. It's the story of stories that points to who we are by letting us know whose we are. That's what the Bible does. And the amazing thing about the Bible, some of you have it physically, the book. Some of you have it in your phones, in your apps, in your devices. But the amazing thing about the Bible is that it's not just
a book. In many ways, the Bible is an entire library of books. The Bible is actually 66 books. It's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 books in the New Testament. And the way to understand that just a little bit, so when we say Old Testament, that really means that we're talking about the promises of God to God's people before Jesus Christ. And the New Testament is the fulfillment of God's promises after Jesus Christ. So anytime you hear someone talk about the New Testament, that means that that is after Jesus Christ. And even us here at Imago Church, 2,000 years later, this is after the New Testament. So that's part of how the Bible is organized. The Bible tells the story of God and humanity. It tells the story of God and us. It witnesses to where God's story and our story as people meet. So it's the intersection. It tells us where the two collide, where our story and God's story comes together. In fact, what the Bible points to is gospel. Some of you have heard this word before, gospel. Gospel simply means good news. The Bible points to really good news. It tells the story of how God created us and he loved us so much that he came to save us. He came, he died, he rose again in order to save us and to restore us back to himself. So the Bible, just to be clear, is not just a collection of unrelated stories. It's not just a collection of stories that give us moralistic tales. Nor is the Bible just a history lesson. But the Bible tells of a living and active story that is still happening here and now. The Bible, unlike any other book, is a story. Some of you remember when you were in elementary school, the Choose Your Own Adventure books, right? Where you could start in one place and then you end up in another place. The Bible is actually a book that takes it a step further. The Bible invites us into the adventure. Unlike any other book, we don't only read the Bible, but the Word of God actually reads us as well and invites us into the adventure, into the journey. I love the way that one writer, one of my favorite writers, his name's Warren Wiersbe, he talks about just the purpose of the Bible and the purpose of God's Word, and he says the following. He says that the Word of God reveals the God of the Word. We don't only read the Bible to mark precious moments, although there are hundreds of precious promises in the Bible. Nor do we only read the Bible to understand biblical doctrine, although doctrine is essential. However, this is the purpose of the Bible. We read the Bible to get to know the heart and the mind of God. That is the end goal in engaging the Scriptures, in opening up God's Word. Because the better that we know God, the better that we can enjoy God, and the better that we can serve God. So again, to put it very simply for us, what is the Bible? The Bible is a living link between us and God. It's a gift. It's a physical gift that connects us to the living God. So in order to understand how to actually do that, how to read the Bible, it's important to know the literary style of the Bible. All of you know here that different books have different functions and different styles. Some books are written for fiction. Others are written for biography. But the way that the Bible is written is in a very unique style, and that unique style is called ancient Jewish meditative literature. So Jewish meditative literature. That's a different type of style in which the Bible is written. So that means that the Bible is written differently than a math book. Some of you remember your textbooks when you were in high school or when you were in college, right? You had your math book or that told you how to specifically do something. Or it's written differently than an instruction manual. When you buy a new piece of furniture, it comes with an instruction manual with a million pages. And you're reading it, and, you know, those never work out for me. I look at it upside down, and I spend hours and hours, and I don't know what I did. by the end of the time. I'm now getting help every single time. Instruction manuals don't work for me. And I'm so glad that the Bible isn't simply written as that. But the Bible is not just a history book or an instruction manual, but the end goal of the way that the Bible is written, which is, remember, it's this style. It's called Jewish meditative literature. The end goal of Jewish meditative literature is closeness with God. That's the purpose of the way that the writing of the Bible is done. Meditative literature, the end goal is closeness to God through faith and trust. So the point of the Bible, if you notice, is not just information. There are a lot of us that maybe are new to church or have been in church for many years, so you have different levels of information about God, about church, about the Bible. But know this, that the point of the Word of God is not just information. And the purpose of the Bible is not just inspiration. But the point and the purpose of the Bible is transformation. The Bible invites us to go deeper, to go beyond information, to go beyond inspiration, but to enter into transformation. Because the Bible is the written word of God that serves as that living link between us as humans and the living God. So when we spend time in the Word of God like we're going to do this summer, that's the end goal. It's closeness with God. It's transformation. Again, going beyond information, going beyond inspiration. But the Word of God transforms us. The Word of God has the power to make us new. He gives us new hearts. He gives us new minds. He gives us new thoughts. That's the end goal of engaging the Word of God, of opening up God's Word. Some of us can be thinking, well, Pastor Carlos, that sounds interesting, but how? How in the world does that happen? How do we become transformed through the Word of God? Well, we can look to the Scriptures, and we're going to open up to Psalm chapter 1. Which actually tells us how this happens. Podemos abrir nuestras Biblias a Salmos capítulo 1. So it's going to be right behind me in Psalm chapter 1 in the Bible portion. You can just click on Bible and it should be right there. So we're going to focus on these first three verses that tells us how this transformation happens. And I'm going to read it for us. It says this. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. But blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Or blessed is the one whose delight is in the law or in the word of the Lord. Blessed is the one who meditates on his law or on his word day and night. That person is like a tree that's planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So how does this transformation happen? Well, according to the Scriptures, the way that God transforms us and gives us new hearts, new minds, and new thoughts is through meditating on the Word of God. Cuando meditamos en la palabra de Dios, Dios nos transforma. Meditating on the Word of God connects us to the living God. So some of us have heard this word before, and it's pretty intimidating. Meditation, what does that even mean? Well, I have news for us. Everyone here knows how to meditate. Meditating simply means focused thinking. Now, I want you to get the old ideas of meditating out of your mind. Don't think about crossing your fingers or crossing your legs or being in a particular place or humming certain things. No, that's not what we're talking about when we're talking about meditating. Meditating is simply focused thinking. I'm going to prove to you that everyone here is an expert meditator. Who here has ever worried about something? Raise your hand. Who here has ever worried about someone? You know how to focus your thinking. You are an expert meditator. If we've ever worried, then we know how to meditate. And that's the invitation of the Psalms. The Psalms invite us to refocus our thinking. The Psalms invite us to do something that we had never thought of before. The Psalms invite us to think, instead of worry, I can pray. Instead of worry, I can lift my hands and praise. Instead of worry, I can trust. The Psalms invite us to refocus our thinking. And that begins with the small stuff. And it takes us into the bigger stuff as well. Because refocused thinking leads to renewed living. And renewed living takes us to transformation. Refocused thinking leads to renewed living, and renewed living takes us to transformation. How we're transformed with new hearts, new minds, new thoughts. So that's just a little bit about what the Psalms are inviting us into during this month of June. And we have this brief introduction to the Psalms. We're going to watch the first 3 minutes today, and then we'll continue it next week. And then together, we're going to open up the Psalms. We're going to open up Psalm chapter 1, and as a community, we're going to sharpen one another. What is God's Word saying to us today? How is He calling us to be made new? So let's go ahead and see this introduction to the book of Psalms.
We've been talking about poetry in the Bible, how biblical poets love design and masterfully use metaphor and symbolism. These poems invite us into an experience, to ponder ideas slowly and from many angles.
And the largest collection of poetry in the Bible is the book of Psalms. So that's what we're going to look at here.
Now, the Israelites composed lots of poetry throughout their history.
Yeah, poems were written by Israelites, sages, kings, and prophets. Some poems were sung by choirs in the Jerusalem temple, while others were prayed by families at home. And over the centuries, the most important and widely read poems were compiled together to be read or sung on special occasions.
And I'm familiar with books of poetry, a large collection of the greatest poems in one place, and I can read through and pick my favorites.
But the Book of Psalms isn't that kind of collection. Here, each poem has been expertly crafted and then placed where it is for a reason, to create a storyline from the book's beginning to its end. The Psalms poetically retell the entire biblical story, and they invite you into a literary temple.
A literary temple?
Yeah, so the tabernacle, and then later the temple in Jerusalem, were where ancient Israelites went to meet with God. When you arrived, you would see art and imagery everywhere. You'd see priests performing rituals, you'd hear songs and prayers, all of it symbolically proclaiming that your God rules the world from this mountain and you're in His living room.
So the temple was a place to be in God's presence and also to immerse yourself in the story of God's kingdom.
Exactly. And so try to imagine how traumatic it was when the Babylonians invaded Jerusalem, plundered and burned the temple, and then took many Israelites into exile.
Yeah, where can they go now to meet with God, to sing their story and say their prayers?
That's where the Book of Psalms comes in. It's a prayer book for exiles, designed as a virtual temple. You enter the Psalms to meet with God and to hear the entire biblical story of God's kingdom sung back to you in poetry.
Cool, but how does the Psalms do it?
Let's start with the book's design. There are 150 poems broken up into 5 clear sections. At the beginning, there's been placed a short introduction, Psalms 1 and 2, which lay out the main themes of the whole book by reviewing the biblical storyline.
Okay.
Psalm 1 looks back to the Garden of Eden and its river of life.
Yeah, God placed humanity in a garden temple. And here, humans decide to define good and evil on their own terms, and so are exiled from the garden.
But the first psalm paints a portrait of hope, about an upright human who delights in God's wisdom, which is called Torah, or instruction. This person is like the tree of life in the garden temple. They eternally blossom because they're planted in the river of God's life.
Yeah, that's beautiful, but who's it supposed to be?
Well, remember that story in Genesis? After humanity's foolish rebellion, God made a promise.
Oh, right, a future human, the seed of the woman who would come and defeat evil and restore the world.
And that's what Psalm 2 is about. God's promise that a king would come from the line of David. He's called the Son of God and the Messiah.
All right, so that's just a very brief introduction to the book of Psalms. And now we're actually going to do the work together as a community. We're going to open up the Psalms. We're going to read them together as a church community and then sharpen one another. We're going to meditate. And remember, meditating just means focused thinking. We're going to focus our thinking in God's word today and then share with one another what God may be saying. So I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then I'm going to read Psalm 1, and then we will go ahead and open it up as a community and ask ourselves what this passage says about God and about people and about what God is inviting us into. So let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, we thank you that you draw us near. You draw us near to you, and you do incredible things. You do things, Lord, that are so much bigger than just any one of us, Lord. Thank you for the gift of your precious word. Thank you for the gift of community, Lord. This is what your people have done throughout history and throughout the ages, which is listen to your word, reflect on it, focus on it, meditate on it, and be renewed and reshaped and restored by it, Lord. So I pray that it would be your spirit that makes the connection points, that you would teach us something new as we sharpen one another in opening up your beautiful, beautiful word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So let's hear now with open ears and open hearts from Psalm chapter 1. And we can put it up there, Psalm chapter 1. It's in the screen right behind me in the projector, but you can also follow along in your Bibles. Psalm chapter 1, Salmo capítulo 1. And it says this. I'm going to read the whole chapter, the first six verses, but we're going to focus on the first three verses. Let's hear God's word. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the winds blows away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. So you can just take a moment yourself to just read that. And I'll go ahead and read the first three verses, which we're going to emphasize. So I'm going to read the first three verses one more time. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. So let's just take a moment to just reflect on that together, and then we'll open it up for sharing. So let's come back together as a community. And Danny has the microphone, and he's going to pass it around. And we're really going to begin by asking ourselves, this is what we're doing together in community, and you can do this on your own at home when you reflect on the scriptures. What does this passage say about God? What does it tell us about the mind and the heart of God? And what does this passage say about people? So just two questions to begin with. Or when you were reading this, what jumped out to you? What is God's word saying to you today? And how can we share that here in community? So we'll go ahead and open up, and we'll ask during our shares. Let's just briefly share to allow others as well to have an opportunity. But we're going to open it up now for sharing. What does this psalm say? What is God's word saying this morning? So you can go ahead and just raise your hand, and Danny here has the microphone. Yeah, Eilish.
I think one thing that really jumped out at me is the idea of sitting in the company of mockers. I'm reading from the King James here, and it says, sitting in the seat of the scornful. Mm-hmm. And I think we live in a very cynical world where cynicism, mocking, and scorn is often mistaken for wisdom. And sincerity and true delight is scorned often. People make fun of it. And it's seen as not as serious. It's seen as not as intellectually rigorous. And so when we mistake scorn and mocking for wisdom, we're approaching the scriptures from an incorrect place. And so that's one of the things that really jumped out at me is when we approach scripture, leave the cynicism of the modern world behind because you're reading eternal truths.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Eilish. What else do we see in this passage? Again, this invitation, right, to leave behind just the mocking and the cynicism, but to hold on to this new truth that God is sharing here in his word. What else do we see here in this passage? What does it say about God, about people? Yeah, go ahead. Over here, Zephy.
One thing I saw is who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take. I think people mistake being a bad person is cool, or they praise it on. So then it just gets continue, which then it doesn't lead to anything good, which is why that really stand out. And also, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked.
Yeah.
That's what I see.
Wow. Thank you, Zephy. Out of the mouths of babes, right? So I love that. You know, we're all sharing. And, you know, that's one thing that is powerful about the Word of God. Do you know God reveals himself to all of us in our ages, to children as well. Children can understand the Word of God. And so can adults write about it or think about it, right? But exactly what Zephy is saying is what this psalm is talking about, which is, there are paths to take. There's a path that leads to life and a path that leads to death. The path of wickedness will lead to destruction. It may feel good for now, but it'll work until it doesn't, and it leads to destruction. But there's a path that leads to life, to joy, to peace, to connection with God and with others, to being like that tree that's planted by the water, right? The roots are constantly experiencing are getting watered and growing stronger. So what else do we see in this passage? Go ahead and raise your hand, and Danny will pass the mic. What do we see about God, about people, and what is God teaching us here
through His Word, when we focus our thinking in His Word. Pandora? Yeah.
So I was reading from the Passion Version, which is Young People Version. And it says in the verse 3, He will be standing firm like a flourishing tree, planted by God's design, deeply rooted by the brooks of bliss, bearing fruit in every season of His life. He is never dry, never fainting, ever blessed, ever prosperous. So I feel like sometimes in our life, we just wear out. I know I wear out a lot. And it's because we disconnect. So when we go back to the Word, it gives us a confirmation that God is still here. So it's like you never wear out. So if you're rooted in the Word, you never wear out because you know God is here with me. No worry is too big. No problem is too big because God is right there. So internally, it grows your faith. It grows you as a person. So you never, ever faint. And it doesn't mean the problems won't come. It means God is there. It's like you're planted, just like it says, you're planted in the stream. So you're blossoming in every season, the good, the bad. When the bad happens, you know, oh, my faith grew. When the good happens, you sing songs of praise. So in all, you're a well-rounded person in God. So that's what I took from this verse.
Wonderful. Thank you, Pandora. I mean, just we staying connected to the source of life, right? Imagine a tree. Or imagine a flower. What happens to a flower when it doesn't have water, when it doesn't have sunshine? It withers, right? And that's actually the image that's that the scripture's talking about here. The one connected to the source of life flourishes and grows. The one who doesn't withers. The leaves start falling off. It withers. It dies away. Thank you for that. What else do we see here in this passage? ¿Qué más vemos en este pasaje? What does it tell us about Lois over here?
What I see here, I see two things. If I can echo what our son here, Zephaniah, said. There are two ways. There is a way of walking in the steps of the wicked, and there is the way of delighting in the law of the Lord. There are two things that leads to two things. Everything has a consequence. If we walk in the steps of the wicked, at the end of the chapter we see destruction. But if we delight in the law of the Lord, we are called blessed. So God is asking us to choose the way.
Exactly. Amen. Danny's right there. Thank you for that, Lois. To choose the greater way, to choose that blessing. Yes, Francis.
I like the other part. Mine ends, I think I'm on a different verse, but it says, God charts the road that you take, and the road that the people who are not trusting in God is, my version puts it as skid law. So whereby they just kid, you know, they just keep on sliding, sliding into more depth of more trouble. And I like this young man's, you know, comparison, because that's what I see in school. You know, the kids who think that they are taking the right course, and when you're telling them this is the right path, they don't want to listen until they get into trouble, and then they come back and say, wow, I should have not taken that. So we who know the way stand, because we are not erring. I think I would better err in the truth and better err on the right than err on the wrong and then find myself in trouble.
Thank you for that, Francis. And yeah, the Francis is a middle school teacher, so he sees that in middle school, right? Kids taking one path instead of another one. And I'm so glad that's only a middle school issue, right? That we grow out of that. And that's what the Word of God does. It brings us back. Let's hear maybe one or two more shares from this side of the room.
One thing that, you know, reading through, it's what Lois was talking about, you know, those kind of consequences. You know, it lays out pretty clearly, you know, here's the consequences of the wicked. But when it says they that delight in the law of the Lord, you know, that's kind of a consequence in itself. It's not like follow the law and then here is your reward. You know, it's saying blessed are those who, like, the law is the reward. Like, mm-hmm. you delight in this. It's not like follow this law and then you will have these rewards. It's the law is the delight. Blessed are those who find delight in the law. Mm-hmm. And then kind of a side effect is, you know, you will be blessed and you're like a tree planted, but it shouldn't be treated as I should do these things so that I can have these rewards. You should find joy or delight in the law of the Lord. That was one.
Yeah, excellent. That connection to the water source, to the living life, that is the reward, right? And that's what leads to flourishing. So we're going to leave it there for now. But this is just a taste of what we're going to be doing together through the month of June. We're going to open up a psalm, we'll read it, we'll pray together, and we'll share. What is God teaching us through this scripture? How is God inviting us to refocus our thinking? And how does God call us to renew our lives? So one thing that I love is that the psalms also show us that at the heart of God is worship and different ways to worship God. And as that introduction video talked about, really, the Psalms are 150 poems. They're poems lifted up to God. They're worship songs lifted up to God. And I'm so glad that we have people with different talents and giftings here at Imago Church. You know, for those of you that don't know, Imago means that we're created in the image of God. And so every one of us has different giftings. And Danny today is going to share part of his gifting, which is poetry. And he's going to share a poem with us that really comes from the way that God has reshaped and refocused and transformed him on his journey as well. So let's go ahead and welcome Danny. Give him a hand clap. And then after Danny shares, we're going to pray and then close in worship.